Welcome back to The Lead, a podcast about content marketing by Copyblogger Media. I'm your host, Jared Morris. This week, the entire Copyblogger family is in recovery mode. Why? Because last week we hosted our first ever conference, Authority Intensive, a content marketing experience that spanned 3 days in Denver, Colorado. Seth Godin and Darren Rouse provided riveting keynotes about the importance of being unique and creating content that matters. Anne Hanley, Lee Oden, Brian Eisenberg, and so many others also took the stage to deliver insight and impact. Included among those others was this week's guest, Tom Martin, who delivered one of the most memorable of the panel presentations by making a simple point that empowered everyone in the audience to do what they really want to do. I interviewed Tom, so those of you who weren't in attendance at this year's conference could taste the flavor of his presentation. And yes, I got him to address those rumors of a rift between he and Brian Clark. Last week, two monumental events occurred: the 2014 NFL Draft in New York City, and the inaugural Authority Intensive Conference in Denver, hosted by Copyblogger. With that in mind, consider the following quotes: sharp and strong, electric, power of prospects over popularity. You might think those words were uttered during the draft. You'd be wrong. They were actually tweeted by Authority Intensive attendees during the presentation of our guest this week on The Lead, Tom Martin, author of the book The Invisible Sale, and a man who thinks slides are for chumps and that chasing clicks, not customers, is the strategy of broke-ass fools. Tom, thank you for coming on The Lead so we can set people straight on this essential idea of the importance of chasing customers, not clicks. How are you, and have you recovered from the altitude yet?
I am great. I recovered pleasantly, and I never called anybody a chump, and it was broke-ass bloggers.
Ah, broke-ass bloggers.
Quote.
That's right.
Bloggers.
I should have known that.
Yeah, it's a movie. It's coming out soon.
I know, and I always like alliteration, too, so I should have known that.
I know. Well, you know.
Yeah.
No, but I was going to say is that my mind has finally decompressed a little from you know, all of the really great speakers and the content and just the ideas, you know, that I have just literally digital page after digital page of notes in my iPad. And it, you know, you just so between that and the altitude and the after parties, I'm finally back to normal.
That's good. Yeah, it takes a few days. That's for sure.
Getting
back to normal myself here. Okay, so first question. This is clearly the most important one. You and Brian Clark caused quite a commotion when your Texas-Texas A&M rivalry spilled into the Q&A portion of your presentation. The rancor was palpable. Have you two patched things up?
Well, you know, as I tell Brian every time we talk, jealousy is a terrible emotion. And I'm sorry that he went to the wrong school. But, you know, he gets over it after a while. And you know, we left as friends. We hugged it out at the end. It was great. We shared a beer. As Brian and I laughed about afterwards, the folks that thought there was rancor just don't understand how men display love for one another.
Mm-hmm. No, that is true. That is true. Okay, so let's get on to some serious topics here, because your presentation was, I mean, among many memorable presentations from the week, your presentation stood out. And I think a major part of that was just the simplicity of your message, which you delivered so well in the 10 minutes that you had. So I pulled a few quotes out from your presentation, and I'm going to read them. And then if you would, just kind of give the listeners a brief description of what you meant so they can get a taste of what they missed while you were talking. So we'll start with the most germane. A click is a sign of interest, not a sign of intent. Don't chase the click.
Well, what I meant by that is that when you look at how most people are determining what content to write, where to spend their time, et cetera, the thing they go back to is their Google Analytics, and they look for, wow, you know, what's getting the most clicks, what's driving me the most attention and traffic. And, you know, unfortunately, though, if that is going to then turn itself into profit in the form of sales or new clients and customers, there has to actually be intent behind that click. And quite often there's not. And when you look at your conversion versus your click data, and you can track that all the way through, all the way down to, you know, an individual tweet if you want. You know, what you start to see is that every click isn't always symbolic of interest. It's just, hey, you're giving me really great free information, and so I'm happy to take that from you, but that's where the relationship ends. I really don't have any desire to hire you or to do business with you beyond. I just really like free stuff. And so the point I was trying to make was that if you get caught up in that, you end up writing a lot for your audience, which is great and makes you famous, but you don't write enough for your prospects, which are the people that are going to make you rich, because they actually do have intent. And so it really can start to have all kinds of massive strategic implications that we went on to talk about, you know, throughout the talk.
Which leads into this quote: your audience will make you famous, your prospects will make you rich. Me, I like rich. My wife likes rich, unquote.
She does. I mean, you know, no, I actually caught some hell for that one. That was kind of funny. I always tell people I'm not looking to, you know, necessarily own a G5 or anything, but, you know, this isn't a hobby. I'm not in this, you know, for shits and giggles. I do what I do, the content that I create, to drive highly qualified leads to my company's website at ConverseDigital.com and or to the book's website, so that will convert and become new clients for me. And that is the only reason I do it. I mean, sure, I like to write, I like to express myself, but, you know, I'm doing it with an end, and the content is simply a means to that end. And you have to keep a laser focus on that, because it gets really easy. And I'm, you know, I'm not above this. It happens to me as well. I think it happens to all of us. You have to really keep your ego in check, because it gets really easy to go, ooh, look, I wrote that and everybody loved it. I'm going to go write more like that. And, you know, because it feels good to see a bunch of people retweet your stuff or to click on your stuff or to share it. I mean, it's, you know, we're all at our base emotionally driven and egocentric. And so that feels good. But that, man, that just can get you into all kinds of trouble. You really have to keep yourself focused on, why am I doing it? What kind of content drives conversions? Where does my customer come from? And what do they want to hear versus just where does my traffic come from?
Now, why did you catch hell for the rich comment? Because, I mean, going through the tweets, that sentiment was actually the one that was retweeted the most. You know, I think one of the big takeaways from the conference is that, you know, you're going to generate long-term value both for yourself and for your, you know, for your audience when you're creating value and you put them first. You know, so it's not like it's mutually exclusive to be useful, be audience-focused, and to make money.
Well, you always have the social media tree huggers who just think it's all, you know, it's wrong to actually want to make money with this stuff. And the hell that I caught was in the private channels. And not a ton, but, you know, a few people saying, oh, you know, it's not all about the money. It's about engagement and, you know, yada, 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 yada. But, you know, I've never been secretive about that. I mean, I'm a marketer. I grew up in the ad agency business. My job was to direct marketing campaigns that drive business to our clients. And, you know, I guess I bring that same mantra and mindset into the social space. And actually, I think one of the things that I, on the flip side of that, I most liked is that the, you know, when I did get a chance to talk to people after the talk and at the party afterwards and so forth, I was actually pleasantly surprised at the reaction, and that so many people did say, I really loved what you had to say. Like it touched an emotional point with them, because I was frankly very nervous up on the stage, because I knew the message I was delivering has been a polarizing message in the social space, because you have this whole constituency of folks who just somehow think it's bad to try to use social media to make money, and sometimes they can be vocal. But luckily, that particular crowd, a testament to all y'all over at CopyBlogger, you know, they were there for serious reasons. They were a serious crowd. They were there to learn how to use content and social and digital, you know, to drive business. So it was well received within the authority crowd, most certainly.
Do you think it's really just kind of a matter of order? And what I mean by that is that if you focus on the money first, you know, it's not going to come. And that's what people have a problem with. But when you focus on the audience value first, then, you know, making money, it not only is okay to think about, but it'll come.
Yeah, I mean, I think that to be successful in this space, you have to give before you're going to receive. I mean, it's just that simple. If that's giving advice, if that's giving free product, but you know, again, that's been a pretty common marketing ploy. You know, that's not a content marketing innovation. Brands have been giving free samples to induce you to test drive or buy or sample their product for as long as marketing's been in existence. So, you know, we all like to claim that that's a content marketing innovation. It's really not. It's an advertising innovation that's just been repurposed. But yeah, I think you have to have a commitment. I think that comes through. I think if you're strictly mercenary and it's all about the money, what I think happens is it leads you to do things where you ask for the purchase too early in the process. You jump the gun. And when you do that, people run away from you. You know, they push away. You really have to be, you know, I really preach that social media marketing is really about seduction. Your goal with your content and your social approach is to be a seductress, is to be wanted, you know, and to be asked to do business versus asking someone to do business with you. And that's why, you know, people who are really successfully using content in social, when you talk to them about their close rates on their leads, you know, their close rates are huge. And in fact, they'll tell you they don't really sell anymore. They just close. Mm-hmm. By the time they're talking to somebody, that person's pretty much of the mind they want to do business with them. It's just a matter of kind of, you know, getting a few details out of the way, you know, agreeing on price or whatever it might be in terms, and then off it goes. So I think, you know, if you're out there really trying to be, you know, that seductress by really putting some value out there, you really can drive a lot of good business back your direction. You know, again, as long as you keep focused on not just what makes you popular, but, you know, what's going to actually be profitable.
That goes in with another quote that I want to ask you about too from your presentation, which is follow the click prevents writing second click content. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of a theory I call propinquity marketing, which is very guest post oriented. So you're pushing content out to other people's platform that then drives, you know, folks back to your platform through the inclusion of anchor text. Well, the best anchor text is always what I call second click content. It's content that you don't write with the idea that it's going to win first place on Google. It's not necessarily going to be a highly clicked piece of content on Twitter or Facebook. In fact, you don't even necessarily write it to push it out. It's simply content that's designed to be that second click someone arrives at in your website, either from a guest post or from an anchor link within your own posts, that, you know, the second click content is where you're really trying to push someone down that funnel, where you're really trying to say, hey, are you just, you know, interested, or is there some actual intent here? Do you really want to come down this rabbit hole with me? And you're trying to push that down. And that tends to be, you know, very niche-y, very specific, written for very, very tightly defined markets. You know, and it's there to move people one step further in the sales process, to get them to convert, to get them to reveal some readily identifiable information about themselves so that you can begin to profile them, develop a conversation and a relationship. So, you know, it's just a different kind of content because it, you know, it's not going to be a, you know, a list post or, you know, seven reasons why you absolutely have to do something next year. It's just really super focused, intelligent, helpful, knowledgeable type of content.
And one more, time is the only finite resource in your marketing toolbox.
Yeah. You know, if you think about it, you can always get more money. You can always get more talent. You can go hire people that are better than you or more innovative, whatever. But time is 24 hours. That's it. That's all there is. And unless you invent some space machine that alters that time-space continuum, you know, you've got 24 hours in a day to get things done. And some portion of that you're going to have to give to your family or your significant others or whatever. And so what you do with the rest of it, how you spend that time, is, I believe, a huge determinant of success and failure. And if you look at some of the most successful people, not only in our space, but in other spaces, and you talk to them, one of the key underlying themes you're going to find is that those folks are incredibly well-disciplined with time. They build processes. They're disciplined about sticking to those processes. And that's what allows them to be more prolific, produce more content, be more places, and get more done than the average bear.
You know, that's a big focus for me personally, is getting better with time. Do you have any, it kind of puts you on the spot here, but I mean, do you have any tips or advice, things that you've learned that really help you dial in your time when it's, when you have that time to work?
Well, I think the biggest one is just, I would say two things. One is if you can find a way to work content creation, let's say, as a scheduled meeting with yourself every week, day, whatever your sequence is, and really stick to it, I find that that really helps a lot. The other is you just have to get real with yourself. I used to say all the time that, you know, I don't have enough time to write more blog posts. I don't have enough time to write more content. But then, you know, then last year, all of a sudden, I found time to write a book. I didn't magically increase the amount of time I had available to me. My family did take a little hit. My kids, my wife agreed to me being locked in a room as opposed to with them a little more often. But at the end of the day, what it came down to was a conscious decision about, you know, I'm going to watch less football and I'm going to write more content. And that really is what it comes down to. You just have to make that conscious agreement with yourself that you probably do waste away a lot of your time doing things that of some value, but you could be doing more valuable things with them. And if you'll just commit, even if it's for short periods of time, you know, sprint for a short period, that can make an enormous difference. I mean, in 6 months of sprinting, I was able to write a book. That has enormous implications on my life and my business. Now I don't have to do that as much because I did it last year. So that's what I mean. I think really focus on prioritizing, even if it's just for short periods of time, really prioritizing against a goal, and you can then accomplish a lot more.
Now, I hope you'll forgive me for pointing out the obvious here, but it seems somewhat coincidental that you locked yourself in a room and stopped watching so much football the same year the Longhorns had no draftable NFL players. Any connection there?
You know, I have no comment.
You left
it was
that
a
wide
young
open,
team.
You know?
It was a young team. It's a rebuilding year. You know, we have to let other people have some of the glory, you know. Yeah, it was not a great year to be a Longhorn football fan this year. But, you know, hey, Strong's there now. So we're going to win strong. I'm going to get me an orange bracelet. It's going to be win strong. It's going to be burn orange. I'm going to make a killing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put a landing site up using I'm going to use my new Rainmaker software or something to put a landing site together to sell lots of these, you know. Longhorn Strong win, and yeah, you had to go there, didn't you?
See,
Brian,
you know what,
Brian, did you get a bonus from Brian for doing that? Is that what this is all about?
No, you know, you just made me realize that I just wasted a good Indiana basketball season to write a book because they were so terrible last year. Could have stopped watching so many games and written a book.
How long has it been since Indiana had a good basketball season?
Well, 2 years. We were number one for a while 2 years ago. But
so you could have written two books and maybe even an article.
Yeah. yes, indeed. All right. Well, Tom, this has been awesome. Let me ask you one final question here as we close. The only two folks who took the stage last week without slides were you and Brian. Now, is this perhaps subtle proof that Aggies and Longhorns are more alike than they care to admit?
Well, I think, you know, that or it just proves that Brian and I are the only ones dumb enough or lazy enough to not actually create slides. I actually made a conscious choice not to do it. I was taught that you should be able, if you're a good speaker, you should be able to make a point without a PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. And I was glad to see that that worked. As for Brian, I just, you know, he was too busy trying to get his little Britney Spears mic to work. So that probably distracted him from any slides.
Well, and I would like to do a future episode with you talking about presentation, because we're going to do some content on Copyblogger about that at some point. So hopefully we can bring you on for another episode then and talk about your kind of your preparation process there.
Yeah, I'd love that.
So just to close the book, The Invisible Sale, where's the best place for everybody to get that? Because I know in the aftermath of your presentation, there was just a stream of folks on Twitter who were running to get that book. So where can people get it?
Probably the easiest is Amazon.com, or you can go to theinvisiblesale.com and not only get the book, but you can register for the newsletter where once a week I give one actionable tip that on Sundays that you can apply Monday to do a better job of prospecting.
Perfect. And any upcoming speaking engagements coming up?
Yeah, my next one's going to be in Turks and Caicos, if anybody wants to join me. It's a nice little place. And then I'll be doing some tourism summits this summer, ESTO and DMAI, before heading out to Content Marketing World in September.
Ah, I will see you there.
Oh, good.
I'll be at Content Marketing World. That'll be fun.
Excellent. Well, maybe we'll go get a Browns game.
Yes. Yeah, we can go watch Johnny. All right, Tom, thanks a lot for your time, and it was really, really great to meet you this week, and hope to see you soon.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Lead. If you're enjoying these episodes, please consider giving the show a rating or a review on iTunes. And don't forget, The Lead is now on Stitcher, so you can listen to us there too. Just go to copyblogger.com/Stitcher. My thanks again to Tom Martin for joining me. Look for a few more episodes like this in the future where I interview speakers from Authority Intensive. Okay, talk to you soon, everybody.
So I wish I was a slave to an age-old trade. Lord, have mercy on my rough and rowdy.